Welcome to the Tradeswomen Australia podcast series that promotes women in trades. Here you'll hear stories of success and ambition from some of the industry's most inspirational women. With two trades under her belt and absolutely kicking goals, Nicole's going to share with us her story from how she became a chef to where she is now in cabinet making.
Hey, my name's Nicole. I'm a cabinet maker by trade and I've been doing it for about 8 years now.
So, Nicole, what made you decide to choose cabinet making?
I originally started as a chef. That was my first career or career choice. I did that for about 8 years. And then I think I originally should have started with this particular trade, but given how hard it was to get into back in those days, I decided to go with hospitality. And then it was a school teacher in one of the Swinburne TAFE centres that I managed to have a chat with. And from there, it pretty much just started going uphill from that.
And do you want to tell us a little bit about cabinet making? What is it that you do and how do you do it?
Oh, that's a good question, actually. To simplify it, it's actually really close to furniture making, but on a larger scale. So like your bathrooms, your vanities that you have in there, all your kitchen sort of covered, the hardware that's involved for that, including like integrated fridges and dishwashers, a whole bunch of different stuff, really.
What skills can you specialise in and what can you do to make yourself stand out?
Oh, that's a tough question. So as an individual, you have certain skills. Mine in particular are attention to detail. So if there's like a chip on a board or even laminating and using a file to get a really thin, super thin line where it looks as if there's no line, that's sort of more the skill set or individual skills. There's not so much a skill in the area. You just develop on certain things and you end up enjoying doing certain tasks.
Do you have any tips on how you can get into the industry?
Absolutely. Keep fighting. Get through your apprenticeship because you'll get everything thrown at you as a female and that's just reality. But once you get through your apprenticeship, you have a sensation of you just achieved what 90% of females drop out of, especially in my industry because it's so physically demanding.
Nicole, what are you currently doing now with your career and what are you working on?
I'm currently working in a place in, Clayton. So they're actually a domestic and commercial company that do sort of like en masse, like all those brand new apartments and sky-rise buildings that are getting done at the moment. They do a lot of those kitchenette type things and the wardrobes for those, on top of commercial work, which is shop fitting as well. So all your display units, you get to work with Perspex, what else? A whole bunch of different stuff. And it's on a bigger scale.
That's awesome. How long have you been there for?
Since November last year. And I've already done, I think it's about 6 or 7 huge projects, including a school just down the road from me. Their whole entire art room and their brand new year 7, I don't even know what they call, educational learning centre thing. So all of their cabinetry for the art rooms were done, bathrooms, and these are something like 5 metre high, tall units that we have to go up and down ladders to get cupboards on top of and that too. And then the other week I was working on a few other bits and pieces, but one of them was a counter front desk that was designed to have pigeonholes and then I think it was like a 2x4 metre benchtop between 2 concrete pillars and then pot plant units on top of that and around it as well. And if you go to Chadston, their new area for their food court where they've got this windy bench with palm trees and everything in it, I also did that too.
What's the difference to working inside the factory and being out on site?
A lot more freedom. No. So when you go in a factory, as an example, you will do a full setup with a kitchenette. So depending on the company you work with, they'll get you to do old school measuring and then you'll create a cutting list and then you'll jump on the panel saw with the big sheets of board and start cutting it up. Then you make it and then you put it all together in the factory. So it's a full kitchen setup in factory. So that's when you can check the defaults, you can align it all of that sort of stuff. So by the time it goes to site, all you have to do on site is make sure your plumbing's correct, the Sparkies can get their cables out depending on what you're installing, leveling your kickers. Because you've done the harder work in the factory, in theory, it should just go in on site half a day and you're done sort of thing. But in saying that, that's never the case. On site, you've got a lot of complications that are always overseen in the planning, because when builders come in, a wall might not be up, or there might be a stud sticking out of a wall or a pipe that's put in incorrectly. So you've got to allow for all that on site.
That kind of sounds stressful.
That comes with the job.
Love your positive attitude.
Well, yeah, you've got to sort of look at things. When in the factory, it's not brain surgery. It's quite easy, and a lot of people prefer factory work, because if you've got a CNC machine, it cuts everything for you, and then you just put it together according to the plan. So it's not, it's fun, but not for me personally. It's not, it doesn't exercise my brain to the full extent. Whereas on site, I prefer problem solving instead of calling the boss, oh no, what do I do? This is out of whack. You know, I've gone out 10 mil. It's all right, well, I don't need to call the boss because I can just chop something off and make it work. It just depends on how much you want to use your brain, really.
And during your career, do you have any moments that you're truly proud of?
Doing just cabinet making, like kitchenettes, in the initial stages, it kind of became a lot of mundane sort of work. And then I ventured into shop fitting, which you've got a lot more colours involved. You've got a lot more bigger things to look at. So, I don't know, there's nothing that I'm sort of overly stoked about because it's my job. Oh, I don't know, that's a tough one. I do my job because I love working with the tools, with the materials, and making sure the customer has a smile on their face, because ultimately they're the ones that are paying our wages. It just depends on the project that I'm given, really.
And what do you have planned for your future in the industry?
So long-term, 5 to 10 year goal, it's actually getting out there on my own, venturing out into my own company, breaking away from cabinet making and shop fitting into new general maintenance work. Because I've got a fair few trade behind me, I can actually do a lot more than just cabinet making. But in the interim, I will stick with, playing with power tools.
Playing with power tools, I love it. Talking of power tools, though, they can be pretty dangerous. Have you had any accidents on the work site?
Accident. There's a thing called a drill press. And in a row, very old machine, and it's the way you can drill shelf pin holes really quickly with 5 to 6 sort of drills in one press type thing. Back in my apprenticeship, I was doing hundreds of boards, just repetitive mundane work. And the one thing about that machine, and it's all labeled, clearly written on, don't go off with the fairies because you'll cause an accident. Little behold, I went off with the fairies. Just as I pushed the board in and pressed the pedal, didn't move my thumb in time, and it wasn't the drill that got me, it was actually the compression pad that sucks it down to stop it moving. So I ended up losing my nail and fractured the tip of my thumb. That was fun. So for about, I think it was a good 4 weeks, I couldn't do much with my thumb. And then it was about a year ago, almost to the day actually, I put my hand through the panel saw bed, and a bit of edge tape flung off the board that I was cutting, and it wrapped back around my other thumb and took out a huge chunk of that.
Ew, I'm regretting asking that question. If they haven't been put off already, do you have any tips on how we could get more women on, suggestions to them on how they could get into the industry?
Well, from personal experience, again, don't let the men get the better of you. If it's something you want to do and you have a passion for it, just keep pushing. Like in 8 years, I've had probably about 6 job placements. Went on to casual work for a bit too, same treatment. We don't blend with the males. That's just simple facts. Like, there are trades out there like your painters or other few bits and pieces that, yeah, you can get away with being a chick, but I don't know, I've heard mixed reviews with that. But when it gets down to like your plumbers, your sparkies, or even what I do, it's quite challenging.
So if someone was considering getting into the trade, they should just stick to their guns, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, stand up for yourself. Just because you're a female and you want to do what society still deems as a man's job, fuck them. Just do it anyway. I did. And I don't look back either. With all the reality of harassment and bullying and shit that I went through a couple of years ago, it's still worth it to this day where I am in my current position.
What do you love most about cabinet making?
Aside from the power tools, I would have to say being hands-on with a natural element. So you've got a lot of the wood timbers, and when they're really polished up nicely, that you can stand back and go, wow, that looks insane, that's amazing. But just being hands-on and using my brain.
Do you have any certain types of timber that you prefer to work with?
No. There's too many. There's too many of them. The ones that look really pretty.
That's awesome.
Like, the amount of, like, scrap things that we get from work. Like, I've just recently been given 2 sheets of 19mm thick perspex, which isn't cheap, but it was going in the chuck-out bin. So I made a whole TV unit, and it's crystal clear, the whole thing. So it was kind of like, built as an example, behind your wood grain, this is what it looks like with the screws, where they go, all your hardware, this is where they're positioned. And then when you put an actual cabinet, a solid cabinet next to it, it's all hidden.
Ooh, that sounds so cool. Do you think that you need to do a pre-apprenticeship before you start a full-time apprenticeship in cabinet making?
Yes. Nowadays, I think it's compulsory, but a pre-apprenticeship will get you... It will give you the basics of what you're in for.
So it will give you some sort of skills that you can use on the work site.
You learn a hell of a lot more on site or in factory. But the pre-apprenticeship will give you an outline of what's expected of you as an apprentice and what things you actually do get to do.
And Nicole, before we wrap up the show, do you have any final words of wisdom for us?
Just do it. What have you got to lose for it? Don't let anyone tell you different. But make sure as well, people do their research too. If you want to be a chippy, there's a very big difference between a chippy, a cabinet maker, and a shop fitter, and a furniture maker. We all work with the same elements, and we all work to the bigger picture. But a chippy is on a bigger scheme. So they're the ones that dabble in house framing and all of those whiz-bang things. And then a furniture maker, well, they stick to furniture, so it's like the upholstery stuff, I presume, timber furniture and that, so it's a lot more finer details again. Whereas a cabinet maker will create that last part of the home to make it a home. Or even a shop fitter, we're the ones that come in and finish the shop front to make it look like a good display.
I feel like you have a little bit of favouritism towards your trade there.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Nicole, how can listeners get in touch with you?
Thanks for listening, guys, and don't hesitate. If you want to know more, feel free to just give us a buzz, contact me via email.
And you can get Nicole's details through us. Thank you so much for tuning into the Tradeswomen Australia podcast show. Till next week, catch you later. Thank you for tuning into today's show in partnership with the Federal Department of Education and Training, Real Skills for Real Careers. You can find out more about pursuing an apprenticeship and beginning your lady tradie career on our website at www.tradeswomenaustralia.com.au or on the myskills.gov.au website. If you enjoyed our show today, please leave us a 5-star rating and spread the word to encourage more women into trades. Thanks again and catch you next week.